Okay. So I think we left off just kind of in the middle of your presidency with MFT. Faced merger. The MPA-EA agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it seems like they're still like backstabbing you all the way.
Well, I think we managed to keep everything we did focused on organizing. That everything we did, we made it to organizing. And I think that has to do with my AFT upbringing, that just everything you do should some way relate to growing the union. And I think I had a lot of friends who felt that way in MFT. I don't think after the early years of the BTU, when they didn't want to spend any money on organizing and resisted us in organizing, and we had a very low budget and a very hard time. After that, I think our budget was always in the black. We were able to buy a building along the way, build our membership from 500 to 5,500.
This is basically mostly public employees and higher ed?
No.
Still K?
Lots of K-12.
What was your base? Was it this? Was it everywhere?
Everywhere. It was pretty well, as time went on, it started out mostly K-12. Mm-hmm. But as time went on, there probably turned out to be more public employees than there were K-12. By the time we got to the merger. So a lot of the 80s was spent both on trying to affiliate the Montana Public Employees Association. We even approached the Montana Nurses Association.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
No good. I mean, right now they're on the verge of extinction.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to figure something out. But they were, again, it just breaks your heart to see how some of these people got government jobs and hung around campaigns, never did anything for their union, never really offered. I think if you check the money that was donated to politicians, you wouldn't find their names there.
Right.
But they've survived, and they've been frauds. Impersonators as far as unions go.
Have you ever had the nurses come to you and say, we want to get out of here? And
no. We invited them. They wouldn't come.
Okay.
I mean, I can show you reams of letters. But no. I'm hoping the governor sees the importance of unity. Since I've become executive secretary, we've grown about 4,000 members in terms of people affiliated with the Montana AFL-CIO, maybe closer to 5. So when MEA-MFT first come in, we had over half. But now because we got other unions back, it's maybe down to 45%. And I think all the unions are feeling the need to organize. It's just how they do it. And I see a lot of opportunity with restoration and reclamation. The governor's got ideas on turning coal to diesel. That's a little bit longer. But, you know, with all these fires, if we could recover, and the beetles are eating our forest alive.
Oh, yeah, we have the ash borers eating us up.
And go ahead. Oh. And if we could, you know, maintain the industries we have now and get into training, I see a lot of opportunity the next few years for union growth in all areas. Now, some of it can come with the help of helping industries, but some of it has to come from people asking people to join.
Yeah.
We've gone back to MEA has gone back to MSU, is trying to organize down there right now. I just feel that if everybody who was drawing a union wage got up in the morning and says, how do I grow the union one more person today, we're 5,000 richer within a couple of years. That could be with the unions that aren't, although we brought most of the unions who weren't affiliated back. You know, we've got a good relationship with postal unions that we never had before. They're in a tester senatorial race. We had a lot of good cooperation. But our worst nightmare on the merger was that they would think we were too big and pushing our weight around, and we really worked hard not to do that, and by waiting, it was all levied on us. We had to get rid of the leadership that was in there. I mean, they were building the AFL-CIO into a company union.
Was that Drixel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Between the clubhouse and the company union concept, they were diluting everything we've worked all our lives for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I ran, and of course, a lot of the people, and I had kept Driscoll alive for a long time, because like I say, his predecessors were more wobbly types, and had no idea of school funding, and you know, they talked a good game, but they never helped us get money to the schools or higher education, or if anything, they caused divisions. So it's been kind of a roller coaster,
yeah,
in terms of how we fit in the labor movement. But I think we're fitting pretty good right now.
So you brought back most of the unions that kind of walked out or didn't want to be part of it, except Teamsters, except for Change of Mind.
Except for Teamsters. But Teamsters, they were never really in.
Teamsters were never really in, and also they're the ones that usually you feel threatened about everybody else.
Because mm-hmm.
they're used to being the big boys.
Mm-hmm. And they have no political action. You know, I mean, I could do this with any union. Do it with ours. Like I told you earlier, you know, what went on? Well, oh, big meeting. How's the turnout? Oh, good. How many? Well, just six or eight. You know, it's going downhill all the time. People just aren't honest with themselves. And you lie your way out of a situation like that once. That's one thing. But you got to look in the mirror and say,
yeah, what am I doing?
What am I doing?
Am I describing a paycheck, or am I actually trying to help?
You're describing a paycheck.
Yeah.
And then a lot of, you know, the hotel and restaurant workers, they organize with a lot of arrogance and meanness, and and they couldn't back it up.
More water, looks like some more Pepsi.
What happened with the hotel? Is the hotel restaurant still here? Or?
Can I just box it up?
They're here, but they're pretty well wiped out.
Okay. Yeah.
Enjoy.
So,
let's see, we're going to successful minimum wage drive and elected tester, and I think this time we can get a majority in the House and the Senate. We'll have a governor, you know, all to want to help us. So we just, and we're really
right. Thank you
very much. You're welcome. Anything else right now, guys?
I think we're good.
No, this will take, do it.
All right, enjoy then.
You know, in terms of trying to find out how the colleges of technology and apprenticeship programs, I mean, I just find out the other day that Driscoll turned down $150,000 that could have been in an apprenticeship program. Well, now, each trade has their own thoughts about, you know, how they should do their apprenticeship programs, which is good. Mm-hmm. But it's what he did is he turned it back for all the apprenticeships. So maybe one apprenticeship didn't want this money, but he turned it back for all of them. And so, but this stuff's all starting to come out.
Yeah. Why did he turn all of them? Why all of them?
Well, he sold us out.
There you go.
By the way, I'm not telling you anything I haven't told him to his face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing. I'm not afraid to do.
I kind of gathered that. What was the political action committee like in MFT?
We had a pretty good, you know, we had people pretty well involved and got involved around the state. I don't think we led as much as we participated.
Well, that's half the battle there.
I'd say that's what MEA-MFT is doing, too. But between the AFL-CIO and MEA-MFT, we're positioning ourselves to where we can lead.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is the future of state AFL-CIOs, where the public employee has a larger voice? Outside of like the industrial belt, but like in New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada.
Ask that again. Oh, I mean, we have all the voice we want here.
Yeah.
I mean, ask me, I hate to say this, they're just sleeping through it all. Now.
But our teachers, is this the powerhouse in the next, the states? Even the states without unions, even states without real collective bargaining. Like Alabama comes to mind. They're the largest force. The Alabama Education Association is the largest force there.
Well, the bottom line, and I think Ed McElroy would say this, the best of anybody, the bottom line is that if we don't figure out a way to help these private unions, there'll be no public employee unions, because if they don't think enough of themselves right now to better their lot in life, when they lose it, they're not going to want to be paying insurance for us,
mm-hmm.
or paying for the schools.
It's the reversal from 1960.
Mm-hmm. How's the food tasting?
Excellent.
Good.
Great. Yeah.
They helped us, because they knew if they didn't help us, they'd be wiped out.
And probably AFT understands that better than anybody.
They do, and they're pushing it hard.
Mm-hmm.
I keep sending out those speeches from when UAW visit us.
I mean, appreciates it, talks about it. You know, I think some of these unions think that just because we're teachers, that we should be lining kids up every day and, you know, teaching them that unions are the way to go. But I think teachers fall in the same category as electricians. They all have to be trained to promote labor history. It's not like just because somebody was trained to be a teacher that they're an authority in labor history.
Right. Right. So you see also that AFT is going to shift into a new collective bargaining arena, away from, well, it used to be craft, then industrial model. Is there a new shift of what AFT is going to be doing?
AFT?
AFT. Doing a new model of collective bargaining, organizing.
Well, we got to get back to our organizing. I think for various and sundry reasons, and probably partially because of all the merger talks, you know, we haven't been doing as much organizing. And boy, but I don't know in terms of, you know, the model.
Do you think AFT did stop organizing for a while? AFT did stop organizing. The state fed stopped organizing.
I don't think they says we're not going to organize, but I think when we had all these no rate agreements, that produced less organizing.
Sure, you had they were so used to raiding each other. They forgot how to organize. The unorganized.
Yeah.
So it took them a while to catch up with. Where AFSCME jumped on the home care workers. Where AFSCME jumped on home care workers and child care workers. We were kind of like a couple steps behind.
You know, I couldn't say on that. I wasn't. I don't know what to say about that.
Okay.
You don't have to put this back on because we're leaving. We're on. We're leaving.
I think it's more. I think we've been over backwards and passed up organizing opportunities to try to appease the NEA, and there was nothing. We got nothing in return for it.
That's true. They gained. What did the AFT get in return?
Nothing. Now, if we can elect a Congress that maybe would go with labor law reform and, where we could organize easier in some of the southern states, and that would be a big thing.
Mm-hmm. That'd be huge.
And I don't know.
Is there any chance for labor law reform?
I hope in the next Congress. I feel like, I mean, I don't know if I got a better seat to see what's going on because of my role with AFL-CIO, but it seems to me that we got a lot of programs and a lot of, I mean, I really like Karen Ackerman and whatever, you know. I mean, if Sweeney's president, what I see of him, I see things happening. I think one of the things that international, two of the things international unions have to do, one is push that you're in and you're not in and out when you're pissed off at a central labor council or a state labor council. They take an action, you don't go home.
start.
And I think I see that. KFT and NASME always done that. You know, paid on all their members, and and so there's got to be more of that. And then at election time, I think the international unions have to say, we're supporting candidate A. And we, I mean, that's the majority rule. The majority rule in the state or at the national level that we're supporting, you know, be it John Test or whoever. Excuse me, we run into problems on work sites where people were saying, bullshit, the international isn't telling us what to do.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't have had to deal with that. Now, those were minorities, but we shouldn't have had to deal with that. They should have, that all should have been laid out there that we're working with them, with the Montana AFL-CIO or whatever AFL-CIO, and they're going to be coming around to help us. But I can feel the progress we're making on that front ourselves, just by the people I'm seeing that are emerging.
The younger members, or?
Well, not some young, but just merger members in general.
What seems to be the shift? What seems to be the change? Is this?
They're being asked.
That's number one thing. Everybody's being asked.
And like, you know, the building trade seem like they're so worried that they're not worried that laborers are going to, or the operators are worried the laborers are going to go out and get 100 new members. They're worried about they might get a half a member on a half a day out of their work, so they're so busy watching each other when they both could be growing in leaps and bounds somewhere else. I mean, now those are things that, as much as I've had experience in the labor movement, that I've seen more of the last few years, and but even before, I could never understand it. I think industrial unions have a better appreciation of their employers, where building trades, some of them, I mean, I watch some of them, there's like an asshole electrician here in town. I mean, he has a good day when he puts somebody out of business. I mean, no union members involved, just making it tough on somebody.
What's the point?
No point. But he's going to meet me one of these days when I have the right hand, when I have the right audience.
Then you'll see something. Been the AFT. You've been with the AFT for a long time. Not so many years.
Well, since 71 staff, and then I was active in my local for 5 years prior to that.
It's changed a lot. It has changed a lot.
Oh yeah.
Where do you think it's heading now?
Well, I got a strain to go back to my executive council days. I mean, the thing that I see about AFT that I don't see in other unions, it's not afraid to change. I mean, you know, when Shanker was tackling, you know, at issues, you know, and not afraid to spend money to help with organizing or building any kind of a state federation, any kind of a front. So, I mean, there might be change a little bit because of times, but I think we're there on that.
You think they lost their mission?
Mm-hmm.
Or their voice?
AFG?
Yeah.
No. Why would you ask that?
Just a general question.
Hmm?
Just a general question, so I ask all of them. Because, you know, usually either Herb would said no and went on. Louise had a different answer.
Well, I don't think Louise is happy with the merger, but...
No, she wasn't. She made that quite clear.
I think there's got to be some changes in how we do organizing. My feeling is that 90% of your day should be organizing. And if you're organizing properly, and you could even include political action in that. And if you do, all these other things will basically take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But most go out and, you know, pick a problem and go deal with it. So they never get around to organizing.
Right.
And, I mean, I can be critical here in Montana on that. There's no reason, since the merger, why MEAMFT couldn't have picked up all the rest of the state employees. They just, the staff didn't want to do it.
It was 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good line. I gotta keep using it.
Well, 5 o'clock. I mean, I'd rather be having a battle or trying to desert somebody else, but I think the MEAMFT needs one because, in some ways, organizing is treated like the war. Nobody's worried about what's going on with the war because they have no day-to-day ownership in it. I mean, all my early years, if we lost a unit, we were going to be hurt. We were going to be hurt. Our feelings were going to be hurt. We were going to be ridiculed.
Uh-huh.
All that kind of stuff. But we were also going to be out money
mm-hmm.
that we needed to keep going. I don't think that most union reps make that connection.
They don't see... They don't remember the lean years.
Well, they don't remember the lean years because they weren't around during the lean years.
Right. So they don't understand that, especially with MEAMFT, there's none of that threat.
Hmm?
There's no threat there. It's so large.
No. And if the threat comes, it's my fear. Is what would suffer is organizing. The MFT board never, ever had the discussion of whether Joe Blow would be out servicing me or not. They had for granted that they would be servicing
right.
when they were needed. But I noticed in MEAMFT, a lot of these leaders not Eric, or not, you know, not me, but a lot of these local leaders were worried whether this time spent organizing would be taken away from their local service needs. And I don't think they dreamed that up. I think it was taught to them by some of the old UNICEF people.
Yeah.
So basically, they is what they were doing is they started on us out there, is that these guys are going to ruin the union because all they care about is organizing. I mean, I heard that in MFT. You know, it's all Jim cares about is organizing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I probably settled more grievances than, and I mean, I take grievances away from attorneys. What the hell? We don't need a court case on this.
Yeah.
What's the relief? Put the relief there tomorrow, and we won. I want it a year and a half from now, so we got a big fancy record somewhere.
Right.
Put it in their pocket.
They usually do.
Hmm?
They usually do.
We've got pretty good attorneys that way, but it's hard in a big organization like MEAMFT to watch these people as they need to move down. But I was a lousy manager. You know, that was my, you know, I'd just get pissed off.
Yeah.
And say, well, we're going to do it this way. And shit, the staff union probably filed more grievances than I seen in my whole life.
Yeah. Just because you were trying to organize.
They just filed a grievance against who you hired or who you didn't hire.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it
that's the same.
But now that's on the negative. I mean, overall, I think we're... The merger was a good thing.
Oh, sure. If I was a teacher, if I was a teacher, and I came up to you, what's the merger done for me?
Well, you could go through any of those things that, you know, we showed that we did on the web page and everything, but I think one of the things that is liked the most by the average teacher that's in professionalism is what do you call it, our AFT? The training,
the R&D.
They love it. They love it.
They're getting that professional development. They're getting that professional world. They're learning more.
They love us.
Yeah.
And they brag about it, and they love to go to the meetings. And I say that we've created a big network.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Burke was the staff person in charge of that. And as near as I can tell, we've developed one hell of a network. And a lot of, you know, that's being done for credits and for ER&D is used, you know, for the 2 days before school. And then I would imagine there'll be a big ER&D thing during the educators conference next week. But that's, you know, those are obvious things, but there's stuff going on all the time. And they're going out into other, you know, like people from Great Falls are going out into smaller communities and teaching. And they like it. They like what they get, and they like the ones doing it like it. And so that's a big deal, you know. Have we improved collective bargaining in the last few years? I don't think we've improved collective bargaining, but the last few years we've got the raises up after a big tail spin. But I think it's in the area of stuff that the average teacher don't see, where we've stopped these initiatives and the budget seedings. And over for the rest, I'm...
You're done? That's good, though.
I don't like to say it.
When Jewel and I were in Colorado, we went and ate ribs. We hadn't ate ribs, Jewel and I, when we were in Colorado last
week. Oh.
And it was, you know, stuff is everywhere. And Jewel looks at me and says, I don't have a stop button on this fork. Keeps going. Anything you'd like to wrap up with?
I don't know. I'm tired.
I know. It's tiring, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me turn it off.
Well, just a second. Not other than, I mean, I've had, you know, AFT's been my life, and it's been good. And
gentlemen, we still doing okay back here?
Yep.
Okay, done here?
For now, yeah. And, you know, I've met, you know, some just super, super people, and they've certainly impacted my life in terms of friendship. But I've also met a lot of great people that I deal with on a daily basis. And getting down in the trenches, they're there. And they're still there. I don't think that's left us.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're having a tougher time finding leadership. And I don't know why. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are give what they can in different ways, and maybe that ain't resonating the local. We've moved more to the state federation model, but I don't know that. Hey. Unless you prime me or drew it out of me.
I'm kind of tired myself. But think of it, you've come along, you know, from mine to, from the mines to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long ride, a nice ride.
Back to the mines.
And back into the mines. Different kind of mines.
Mm-hmm.
Just as dirty.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the, you know, if we're going to have some economic growth here, some of it's going to have to be, well, reclamation is cleaning up the mines.
Yeah.
And the messes they made. And if we can get them back union jobs, that's what this guy here was calling about.
Talking about how to do it and get union jobs in there. And
I've been working on that for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. It only makes sense.
I got a lot invested in it. Lot invested.
Well, people coming your way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to leave the state, too.
If they were all coming as fast as the governor, it'd be easy.
Yeah, then there's the governor. Yeah.
He's moving way faster than the rest of them. But he's on the right page.
Good. You guys got a good one in there.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm about tapped too.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to fight our way